And so why is Israel important? You know, a lot of people, they have a lot of speculation about modern day Israel and what it means. And
that's like a hot topic. It has been so for a couple of decades. Yeah.
And I don't personally believe that Israel, the modern state of Israel, I don't personally believe that that's God's timepiece. Everybody, I get so sick when people say that. Now, I don't hate people who say that. I don't hate people at all. But to say that Israel is God's timepiece, there's so many other things in the Bible that are prophetic to be looking out for. It's like, just because something's happening in Israel, I mean, look, there's been stuff happening in Israel for a long time, and I think it's part of the picture, but it's not all of the picture. But there's so much, gets put on modern day Israel. You know, so many people just want to put so much prophecy on that. And I understand, because you can make millions of dollars by teaching on Israel being God's timepiece, because like there's a new teaching coming out every hour and a new book coming out constantly. But I think that the idea of the temple is an important idea. And I want to make this point. With Israel, it's not so much about all of Israel, but Jerusalem itself is a place that has historic. There's been a battle going on there. And I don't mean with Muslims and Jews. Forget about that. Satan has wanted Jerusalem from the beginning. I did a two-part series on the Fourth Watch Radio Network. You can go listen to it for free. It's called The Cosmic War. There's two volumes. I did one. They're both with BDK, the host of Omega Frequency, a dear friend of mine. The Cosmic War Decoded, I think we called it. But it's Cosmic War 1 and 2. And we break down some really interesting prehistorical ideas about Lucifer, about Satan, and the Garden of Eden. And before the fall, and why we believe that he's always wanted that location. And so when we read in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul is talking about before the great day of the Lord comes, before we are gathered up unto Christ, before that day comes, he says the falling away has to happen, which is the apostasy. It's like where people, you know, the false church. And he says the man of sin has to be revealed, the son of perdition. And Paul goes on to explain what that looks like. And he's explaining the same events that Daniel the prophet is explaining in Daniel 9 through 11, where he's talking about the abomination of desolation. Now, some people say, well, that's already happened, Justin. You know, that happened with Antiochus Epiphanes. And I say, no, it hasn't, because Jesus Christ came and said, Jesus actually spoke in Matthew 24 about the abomination of desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And so then Paul comes in and Paul references back to the abomination of desolation. Now, we know that the man of sin as the Antichrist is going to stand in this particular place, and he's going to declare to be above all that is God, right?
Right.
Now, at that point, that is halfway through the Great Tribulation. You know, now, again, there's people that are going to debate what time period is the tribulation. Is it a 7-year period? Is it a 3.5 years? And there's even people that break it down into smaller increments than that.
Christians don't agree on this? Really?
Yeah, but no. Here's the thing. If you're going by the traditional belief of a 7-year tribulation, which I it would be, 3.5 years. Like once the abomination of desolation takes place, there's like another 3.5 years. That's the traditional view. But regardless, we know that the Antichrist is going to stand in that place that Satan has wanted for thousands of years. He's going to stand there and declare to be above all that is God, and he's going to declare his worship to be stated in the very place that God used to be worshipped in the old ancient Israel.
Right.
Now, that is very key. So you have this land of Israel, okay? It's not about the people so much as it is about the land, because the Antichrist wants to be in that land, because that land was special to God. That land is always going to be special to God. Mm-hmm. That land has got significance prophetically and historically. Now, when this takes place, you're going to have the American forces, which is Team America, Team Democracy. It's basically the power of the world. And then you've got the religious side of that being in Rome, dealing with the Catholic Church, which the Catholic Church isn't going to be traditionally like the Catholic Church is right now. There's changes that are happening. And the word Catholic actually means universal.
Right.
Which I think that's going to be prophetically fulfilled as well in this time period, where it's the universal, everybody's coming together. And by the way, the Vatican has been in very good standing, by the way, with the United Nations. We even show clips in the film of one of the popes going to the UN and getting a standing ovation about uniting for world peace. So you've got Rome and Vatican City. You've got United States of America, specifically Washington, D.C., but by extension, the United States of America. And then you've got Israel. Now, I think it's like three legs of a table. Mm-hmm. And that table is the end times, sitting on those three locations as these prominent powerhouse locations. But why do we believe that America, by extension, I say America, but D.C. is the whore of Babylon, the revived Babylon? Well, when you study the characteristics, now the Bible doesn't say America clearly, but when you study the characteristics of this great whore of Babylon, the characteristics, you make a list of them, and we go through a good bit of this in chapter 5 of the film. There is no other nation in the entire world, Josh, no other nation on earth that can check off this checklist of what the Bible says in describing the whore of Babylon and this revived Babylon and how it's going to fall. And all, I mean, dude, all the checklists going down. No nation on earth can hit those checklists like America. Mm-hmm. And we break that down, even down to the creed. America has a creed. E pluribus unum. This is prophetic in and of itself. One out of many.
Right, right.
This nation is a melting pot of every nation, tongue, and language, and culture, and society. And if you go to D.C., they erect monuments and buildings and centers for every group of people. This whole idea of political correctness, that's all part of the E Pluribus Unum. It's all about bringing together a global system made up of every tribe, every nation, every tongue on earth, every religion on earth, all coming together under a government known as America, or Amaruka, the land of the plumed serpent, the final revitalization and resurrection of the old religions, a revival of this pagan golden age right here in the Western Hemisphere. And then to add icing on the cake for all you guys listening right now, if you go back and you study the prophecies that were given by the ancient Greeks and the ancient Egyptians, you find out that it was all about this Western Hemisphere. There was going to be a great continent or a landmass in this Western Hemisphere of the world. They had a good knowledge of the Western Hemisphere, Josh, because the Egyptians were on record as coming to our continent long before Christopher Columbus was even conceived.
Right.
Long before
right.
The Native American Indians were even here. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't take the land from Native Americans. I'm sorry, that's a big hoax. They came, but there was people before them. They were not the native. They were only native to the land when Columbus got here. Before they got here, there was other people here. And we've got records of this that people even reached out to me after Hollow Earth Chronicles. And Native Americans told me. They said our oral tradition states that there was white-skinned giants on the land of North America before we got here. And then we got here, and they taught us things, and some of them fought us. And then there was other white-skinned people, which probably date back to the Lucifer worship and the pre-civilized Freemasons going back to Lucifer worship on the land. Now, regardless of white, Native American, giant, blah, 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 the bottom line is ancient worlds knew about this nation. It wasn't called America at the time, but they knew about the Western Hemisphere. They knew about this landmass that we call continents today. And they said that in the last days, the latter times, that this is going to be the continent in the Western Hemisphere that was literally going to be a superpower, a world democracy center. It was going to be a revival of the old pagan gods. And this was going to be the place to lead the entire world into a last days empire. Now, what's really crazy about that is that if you look at some of the old maps, it's basically two circles, right? And
right.
You've got the world, and then you've got the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. Now, they knew something back then, Josh. They knew something back then. And so the Western Hemisphere was set apart even in the old maps. I actually brought this up on Hagman and Hagman the other night, and Steve Quell knew exactly what I was talking about because he collects maps. But it was interesting because, yeah, you've got these old maps and something special about the Western Hemisphere. Well, what it was that the old world knew that this was a set-apart land. It was going to be something special in the last days. And it's a checklist with the whore of Babylon in this whole revived Babylonian system that we read about in Scripture. No other continent on earth will meet this checklist the way that the United States of America does. And not to mention, we're a nation under the goddess, a nation under Osiris, a nation under Egyptian religion with roots dating all the way back thousands of years.